Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
Today's podcast with Sharla Mills, CEO of Palliative Care South Australia, is an important one and is the basis of a program that we're jointly running together called Beyond Loss to address grief and loss in our community, often the topic that we don't want to talk about, but one that's so important and underpins the very fabric of how we live our lives, because whilst we live our life, we also lose people. And it's not just the death of a loved one, it can be the loss of any relationship that causes grief. It could be a financial issue, could be loss of a pet, losing hopes and dreams. And that loss in our society often falls into mental health issues, and that's what we really want to get to the crux of. And this program is intended to address that. So we're going to explore palliative care, what they're doing, and what community centres are doing to address grief and loss. Welcome to the podcast, Sharla. Really looking forward to this conversation. And it's a conversation about a subject that often people don't look forward to, but I am, because there is so much need to help people with grief and loss, isn't there?
Absolutely. And thank you for having me. It's a delight to talk about this topic, and it's a very important topic for everyone.
Certainly is, and it's something that's within our every daily life. You know, we're always hearing about this and that. Loss is so much broader than just loss of a loved one, loss of someone through a health. I mean, you're speaking from palliative care, but as we know, grief and loss is far broader. But let's just talk about the collaboration you've done with CCSA to nurture compassionate communities. And what does that mean to be a compassionate community?
Yeah, well, obviously the language itself, compassionate community, is what we often all hope we live in, actually, as part of our lives. So we talk about compassionate communities really as a group or a network surrounding people in that last chapter of life, people that are compassionate and supporting people across that last chapter. Now, that can start at different times, and it also merges into helping people that are grieving as well. But also, compassionate communities can support their whole community, because all of us should be compassionate. So even if you are not supporting people in that last chapter of life, the skills that people have in compassionate communities can actually support their whole community. Whether you're experiencing loss at a younger age, you might be a loss of a relationship, it might be a loss of a job. If people have the skills to be in a compassionate community, to be able to talk, listen and connect to each other, then that's relevant for all of us.
And they're really the key skills, aren't they, Sharla? And even it's that listening, and if people do talk, they'll often say things that aren't actually compassionate or comforting.
I think sometimes we get a bit nervous about what to say, and we think we need to say the right thing. And then sometimes that's when you might not say what you think you would normally say in that space. We often use that terminology, we're given two ears and one mouth, so we should focus on listening as much as you can. And particularly when people are experiencing loss and grief, they really have a lot of the answers themselves, and what they need is people around them that are willing to listen. We call it a compassionate ear. So just sitting and listening and be present for someone, not looking at your phone or being distracted, but being present for them. And then they'll find their own answers in that space, but you're there with them.
And to share and to have someone just listen without doing the, oh, I know, well, what happened with me or my situation is, and this comparison, what is it that drives humans to bring up that comparative element?
Great question. Yeah, so I think we naturally look for our own experiences to try and help someone as well. And we think, what helped us? And then we try and impart that knowledge onto someone else. But grief and loss, everyone experiences it in their own way. We all have different experiences in life. Some of us may have experienced it many times. Others may have never experienced it. So we have a different background and we come to the situation in different ways. So although one of the comforting things is that grief and loss is a universal experience, we will all experience it one day, we have to understand that people experience it differently. So what helped for us might not always help for others. So considering that, and that's why it's just important to be present, to be there for people, and also offering to help with the little tasks that are happening around the house, the everyday task. That's actually what people find most helpful rather than advice. Like, they'll love someone just to help with mowing the lawn or putting the bins out, maybe even feeding the cat or doing some gardening. Those little things when you're being present with someone is really what's helpful.
And Sharla, can we just explore complex grief and compounded grief?
Yep. So there's different types of grief and, you know, everyone experiences it differently. So because grief and loss and death and dying is a normal part of life, we call this the final chapter or the last chapter of life. And it's really a closure of someone's life. So it'll happen to us all one day. And so there is an ability that we all have of being able to walk through our grief in our own way. And most people can work through their grief, and they'll obviously always have a connection to that person, but they'll be able to move on or move forward in it. However, some people find that really difficult, and that's what often we frame as this complex grief. And that's where you need a bit of extra support. There are lots of supports available, and actually in South Australia there's a support system called Palliative Care Connect, and they have bereavement navigators for the state that can support people to ensure they get those extra supports if they need them.
And interestingly, there's also anticipatory grief, and people don't expect that. And that's often hard to deal with, because when you've got that long-term ill health and you've got the carer, so they're anticipating grief.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think people often don't think about this, but it's that framing of loss as well. So when someone's diagnosed with a life-limiting condition, at that point of diagnosis, you lose so much. You lose a vision for the future that you had together with this person. And there's a series of losses along that way for the carer and the family around them. And so we call that anticipatory grief. So before that person has died, you're anticipating it as well. And what we know is if we listen, support people before that person dies and give them that support during anticipatory grief phase, that the grieving after that person dies is a little bit easier. I'm not saying it's really easy, but it's a little bit easier. So we need to start early. We need to be present. We need to be understanding for people and have that compassionate ear.
Interestingly, Sharla, I do actually have someone I know who's going through this as we speak. And I was interested to see how her husband was dealing with all of this, because what do you do for the person who is going to pass as well? Because often they don't want to express it because they don't want to upset people, but they're holding it all within.
Exactly. Talking is really important. It's like everything in life. When you talk about things with someone that you're comfortable and confident with, it helps a lot. So having those conversations and all of us just being present, being caring, being compassionate and kind for those around us is what this is all about. And that gets us back to that compassionate communities concept that we're trying to grow throughout the state.
And often people just don't know what to say. I mean, it's that thing, what do you say? How do you feel about this? Or are you scared? Or people just think, if I don't say anything, perhaps I'll bring up about the weather, or I'll chat about bright and peppy things.
Well, if you think about the whole Are You Okay Day, I think that is just such a brilliant concept, Are You Okay Day. It's absolutely the same. You know, we just need to start by having a conversation. It's not about getting it wrong and being so worried you'll get it wrong that you don't talk to people. I think that's often what happens. It's simply checking in on people. How are you going today? What's a good day look like, and how can we make today that day for you? People often want simple things when they're grieving or when they're experiencing loss or if they have a life-limiting condition. They often just want to feel some sunlight on their face. They might want to go somewhere that they've always loved, over to the beach, time for reflection, spaces that mean things to them. So that's the idea, is if you can help them and just be present with them, that's when they might open up and have some conversations with you, and you just be ready and able to listen and support them, whatever that looks like.
And often there's a situation where there's regret around past conversations or experiences or behaviours. That's interwoven into this piece as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. We're all human. I think we've all had regrets throughout our lives in different ways, and whatever that feels like to some people. And again, it's just being honest and thinking how that feels for you, thinking of what you can say. So with someone still here, can you open up that conversation with them and tell them how you're feeling and have that conversation? If they're gone, what are some other ways that you can do that so that you can feel that you can move on? Because it's so important to love life and be, you know, really positive in life. And living with those regrets can be really hard. So if you're struggling with that, try and do those little methods. But if it's getting really hard, reach out for help. There's lots of options for people as well. We shouldn't feel that regret and get stuck in that space.
Because now is the time for that person passes.
Absolutely.
Sharla, what role do you think community centres can play in this?
Oh, community centres are like the heartbeat across the state and the country. They're just such beautiful places. They're safe spaces where people can come and connect, and that's key to what compassionate communities are. They're places where they've got great volunteers and people working in the centres that are really there to care and support people. And really, that's what this is about, a safe space, a space where you feel comfortable to stay connected. You don't need to feel isolated in this area. So community centres often have volunteers that are doing things already, and it's exploring what the roles they might have and what they could expand on in that space that their community might like. An example of that might be they're doing a gardening project. Think about how your community garden could actually incorporate a safe space for people experiencing loss or grief at that time, and what that might look like. Open it up, maybe considering having a memorial chair in there or some other activity on Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas days, the days when often grief and loss can feel really raw for people, and how your community can acknowledge that people are experiencing that while still being there and around them as well. There's so many ways they can get involved, and we've already done some work with the community centres around TLC Connector training, which is Talk, Listen and Connect. And we're working with a couple of community centres so that they can be trained to deliver this themselves. And then we're working on a couple of other resources around this as well. So the Loss and Grief Support Handbook as well that community centres can access, giving them ideas of what they can do around this space. And then also looking at what we call treasure mapping, and we think community centres are central to this. So there are a lot of treasures in our communities that are happy to chat about this. Places or people that are really supportive of each other and are really connected in this way. So each community centre, if they knew what their local treasures are, then they can share and connect people to them as well. So we're developing a little resource with Community Centres SA called Compassionate Communities Treasure Mapping Cheat Sheet for the community centres as well.
I'm talking to Sharla Mills, CEO of Palliative Care South Australia. And yes, indeed, we're working on a project called Beyond Loss that was funded through the Office of Ageing. And it's been fantastic because it was all co-designed. And what initially we were going to start with a formal program and modules has now been, well, let's look at exactly what the treasures you have. Here's all the ways you can introduce help and support with grief and loss, and it can be different for others. So we're really excited about that, Sharla. Where do you see that a program like this will have its benefit? If it wasn't there, what's it going to add by being there?
I think it'll, one, give people an opportunity just to know that this is important and see the value in it. Many people feel quite isolated throughout their grief and loss, and that they might be the only ones. And by seeing a program like this, it shows that you're not the only ones, and this is actually relevant to a lot more people. And then I think the big part of this program, I do know other states and jurisdictions are a bit interested in what's happening in South Australia.
We do so like that. We're often known as the pilot state, aren't we?
Absolutely. And so this is one example of that. And I think this is an opportunity where people can see the value within their own community. You don't have to go out of your community to find supports. There is local treasures in every community doing things their own way. And that's what this is about. It's about knowing what's available locally, connecting to it, and nurturing and growing whatever you like locally, which, like you said, that co-design. And I think that's the beautiful thing about community centres owning it, because they will make sure it's part of their community.
Well, we do plan to do a lot more promotion for community centres, in particular getting to primary health network referrers, doctors who have people coming in their doors all the time where they can't exactly diagnose it, but this person is suffering. Now, where do they send them for help? And when you mention about social isolation, but what do you practically do? And why did that person isolate? Commonly, it's because of a loss.
Absolutely. And I think, like, my background is a nurse, so I'm one of those people that automatically jump into the solution being another health professional. It's a natural thing. I'm not sure if it was in our training or why that is. But you're automatically, when someone asks for help, you work on a solution of how can we fix this within the system? What systems and services do we have available? You know, My Age Care is the classic one. You know, always pivoting people to NDIS, My Age Care, all of these systems. I always think it should be the opposite. I think we should start with who's in your family, your friends, your networks of support around you who might be available to help, and how can we work with them first. Then let's look at your community centres, your volunteer organisations. Let's look at Meals on Wheels. Let's look at all the beautiful community groups around there, councils, and see what they can offer. Then whatever can't be offered by those two groups, then we add the services in. So let's start with who is in your own community first, because we also know that a lot of people want to help, but they don't know how. And they often offer help, and we often say, oh no, that's okay, you don't need to help right now. We can be quite stoic. So we can encourage you to connect with your own community and with your own networks first, and then add the services in, rather than go the opposite. And the community and family just fill the gaps of the service. Let's try the opposite.
And often people won't connect because they don't feel no one will get me or understand, or I can't share and I can't talk about that. So they continue to isolate. And that's the value of the Talk, Listen, Connect program, isn't it, Shaila? That really it is addressing social isolation and loneliness because it's putting champions into a community centre.
Absolutely. And champions are critical in this. Just people confident and observing a little bit more. If you see someone not connecting with others and looking a bit more isolated, having the confidence to go and check in on them. That whole concept of are you okay and starting the conversation, it's something we should all do. We say it's a citizens activation training. Really, all of us should be learning how to be TLC connectors. Imagine that if the whole community, if schools were training people in this. It's just a natural life skill, but actually in the busyness of the world, we often forget to do it. So it's just a reminder of these general skills that we often have, but just a prompt for everyone. So TLC Connector is what it's about.
And of course, we always say with community centres that we're a place-based service program, which is fabulous, but you then also need the person to do the listening in the place. And what would be wonderful is if you have people who themselves have been affected by grief and loss in whatever form that may be. And as you know, I started these discussions because I lost my darling little Fudge, my dog of 15 years, my companion, and it just really impacted on my life. And that's what made me doing this exploration. But we started with this program, and now you've helped us with your experience to realise it's better to integrate it to what's already there. So if there's a men's shed or there's a chatty cafe or there's a women's craft group, show people how to use Talk, Listen, Connect as a program to actually help others.
Absolutely. And thanks for bringing up about Fudge. It's such a beautiful story about how what you've done from that loss, about expanding this and thinking broader out of this. Because so many people talk about the loss of their animals. Animals are a big part of our lives. And I think we've just sort of really see that a loss of an animal is really significant to many people. And like you said, there's lots of losses. So we need to consider that. And really, if you think about that, every one of us will have experienced loss in some way. Every one of us in different ways, and therefore this is relevant to everyone. So although we frame it in the end chapter of life space, this is actually an all of life space. We can all be kind, we can all connect, we can all have that compassionate ear. And we should, for everyone, just checking in on them.
Well, this is why it's such a fantastic program for our community centres, because every community centre is often driven by the volunteers and their skills or the place-based restrictions. Now, what is the one program that fits all? You can do Tai Chi, or maybe I'm not into that. Mahjong, not into that. Don't want to know English as a second language. But as the Queen would say, as we know, to love is to grieve. It's going to come to all of us in some way, and hopes and dreams. So therefore, this was one program that every community centre could run, and that can appeal and draw in people, both from those who want to serve and help and those who are being affected by it across the board, across the state.
Absolutely. And it's a way for them to show what they do as a community centre to their broader community as well. So they can see, and you can get the first layer of people understanding what Talk, Listen, Connect is about, and then they're inspiring others to do it. So that's how we can have this evolution, I guess, in this space of confidence, to recognise that death and dying is a part of life, grief and loss is a part of life, and we've all got a role to play in supporting each other.
And I was talking today to someone about how if you're trying to see a professional now, 6 weeks, absolute minimum, some of them a year's wait. How can you wait that long to get help? Well, of course you can't. So if we have people in the community who are actually able to help each other, they may prevent somebody spiraling into complex mental health.
Absolutely. It's the first step. You know, like I said before, rather than jump, where's that service? Let's start with, have I had a conversation with the people around me that are available in this space? Now, the concept at the moment is, who is confident to talk about that? And who will I be able to reach out to? And that's where the idea of this training will help people. But the idea is that you start by connecting with your community and seeing if you can have those conversations when things are feeling down, not feeling that someone's going to judge you and that sort of thing. If you need that extra support, then reach out and get that, definitely is important. But also your friends, your family, your community is key to your circle of care. And that's really what we're talking about by compassionate communities across the state.
And the greatest thing about this program is people get so worried about what to say. Less about what you say and more about what you listen to.
Absolutely. Let's think about that. Like, a little bit of the training is actually stopping for 2 minutes and just listening to someone. Now, 2 minutes can feel like an eternity. And I think that's one of the things for people to realise and think. But actually, if you're the talker and someone's listening, 2 minutes doesn't feel like much at all. So it's an interesting perception that we often have. We think that silence is difficult, but actually silence is a space for someone to reflect and actually think about it and come up with their own answers. They don't need to be told what to do all the time. So giving someone some safe, silent space is actually really important too.
And it's not something we feel comfortable with. We always want to fill that space, or we want to jump in with our story. I'll often do an exercise with groups where I'll get two people just to sit with each other and be present and say nothing and put the timer on for 2 minutes. You can just see them looking around the room, looking everywhere. And I actually once did it with somebody and I did quite well. And at the end, she dug around for a card. She handed me a card. The name of my hairdresser, just thought you might like to go along. Oh, thanks. It wasn't quite what I'd intended. Clearly, you don't like my hair. But it was just really interesting of her take on that whole conversation. But it's really hard. It makes people nervous. They can't look at the person. So can't sit for 2 minutes without saying anything. It says a lot about humans.
It does, doesn't it? I think it's a good practice for us all to think about. I've got teenage children, actually. I talk about this with others, but I haven't actually done it with them. And I'm just thinking after you said that, I'd love to just might sit with them, put the timer on. I might move their phone away and put their timer on and just say, let's just do 2 minutes of silence together.
It's really worthwhile, and get them to look at each other.
Beautiful.
Pair off, and that's really uncomfortable, hence the hairdresser story. Now, very important week's coming up for us both. It's National Palliative Care Week, 11th, 17th May, and we're, of course, Neighbourhood Centres Week, 12 to 18 May. Our theme's Ripples of Change. What would you like people to take away from National Palliative Care Week?
Well, it's starting the conversation, really, is what it's about. You know, we say living well is a daily choice, but dying well takes planning, health, social and community supports. So really what this is about, or National Palliative Care Week is about just starting the conversation, recognising that death and dying is a normal part of life. And then making a plan. So have you done your advance care plan? Have you done your will? Have you done your enduring power of attorney? We say those three documents are key. And actually, they're not just for the end of life. They're actually for all of us. From 18 onwards, everyone should have those three documents in place. So getting started on those documents. People ask me all the time, oh, how can I start a conversation about this with my mum? I don't know what to do. And I always say, well, it's not just about your mum, it's you too. If you're over the age of 18, you need to be sitting down and doing this too, because we all don't know how long we've got. We all don't know if something's going to happen and we're unable to make a decision for ourselves. So that would be the key thing, is reflecting that death and dying is a normal part of life, planning ahead, get your affairs in order, as they say, and then just starting the conversation with others around this area, just so that people get more confident to talk about it.
That really leads into the final part I want to talk about here, Shaila, and that really is, it is a normal part of life, but people do have an issue with it, particularly Western society. We do not grieve well.
Well, definitely. I think everyone's a bit different in this space. We often talk about it's a stigma to talk about this area. However, we did do community conversations across South Australia 2 years ago, and the majority of people actually told us that they're okay to talk about it. So I think we've got a perception that we don't like to talk about it, but maybe people are actually a bit more confident in it. We call it death literacy. So people are a bit more confident in having conversations about this area. So don't be afraid to start the conversation.
And that's maybe what it is maybe it's how do I start that conversation, which is what the Talk, Listen, Connect is so important for. So, Shaila, what would you like to see? Obviously, we've got this program we want to roll out. We're trying to increase this in the community. But if you're confronted with this situation, either yourself with grief or you were trying to support with somebody, what's some key tips as a takeaway?
I think the first thing is to take a breath. Take a moment to just get yourself confident, center yourself so you're not feeling flustered or worried about saying the wrong thing. And then don't walk away. Be present for them. Check in on them. How are you going? Feel free to mention the dog's name, the person's name, anyone they lost. Mention that, because don't be afraid about that, because they are thinking often about that person or that animal as well. So say, how are you going? Tell me about how you're feeling about your dad. Oh, it's his anniversary coming up. How are you going? What are you planning to do? Mother's Day, are you thinking of doing anything to reflect on your mum? You can have conversations about this area. So don't be afraid of that. So I think that's the main thing. Take a breath, get involved in the conversation. And then that third thing is offering to help, and be quite practical in your office to help. If you see someone struggling or having a challenging situation, you know, do you want to come for a walk with me? Do you want me to walk your dog while you're doing something? Or do you want me to come over happy to help with a bit of laundry while you're doing, have a cup of tea and a rest for you? think of some really practical ways you can offer support to others. Be present. That's the main thing.
And that's a great thing with community centres, is you can do that on a local basis. You can't do that when it's a big government organisation, but you can go down to your local centre and offer to help and be involved. So we're really hoping our Beyond Loss program that we've done together, so community centres, look out for that. We've got 4 pilots happening and we're hoping to roll it out to the rest of them.
Absolutely. And I think the community centres, I look forward to continuing to work with you guys. We've learned a lot working in this area. And like I said, the palliative care sector is really inspired by this. You know, we talk about compassionate communities, that this is not just a health issue. This is a social area of life. Death and dying is a normal part of life. And so who better to be positioned right at the centre than that, than the community centres themselves?
And what I'd like to see is, I really believe the information we've seen, and I guess this pilot will also show that, is that for a lot of people experiencing mental health, if you track it back, it came because of a loss. So it's unexpressed or unaddressed grief.
And I think that's a big part of it. We'll all experience loss and grief throughout our lives. If we don't have the outlet to have those conversations, moving through it, you'll never move past it. It's always part of your life, but it's actually moving forward with it is the key. And having, talking about it, having conversations, having rituals and activities that help you to reflect and acknowledge that was part of your life is a big part of this story.
I always think there's a great expression that says you grow around your grief. Never goes, but you just grow around it.
Beautifully said.
Sharla Mills, thank you so much for being part of our podcast conversation. I'm really excited to be able to release this to our community and our important program we're working on together. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, and happy Neighbourhood House Week next week and National Palliative Care Week as well.
On behalf of all the Community Centres SA teams, thanks for listening. Feel free to get in touch with us at communitycentressa.asn.au. We'll be back next week. But wherever you are, at home, with your work and in your daily life, we hope that we have planted a seed to enable ongoing community conversations.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.